Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we've been talking about a healthy you. So up to this point, we've talked about God renewing our body, soul, and mind. We're the passage in Matthew where Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." And he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will make your yoke kind and pleasant to you." So we talked about what that means. Last week, we talked about putting God first in our life, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto us. And we talked about anxiety and worry and being stressed out about things of this life. And God says, you know what? Put me first, and it will really help to take, I'll take care of the rest of those things so you don't have to worry. And I was, I wasn't reading the paper. I was actually doing the treadmill. I think it was first part of the week, and I think it was on the noon news. But they were talking about anxiety and worry. They kind of have this noon segment, and the guy that was on there said that every year 29% of Americans are diagnosed with a mental illness. One out of three, folks, are diagnosed with a mental illness. Now, not all those cases are schizophrenia and some of the major stuff, okay? But 40 million people each year are diagnosed with anxiety and are treated for it. 40 million within our nation. That's a lot. What's the population of our country? Anybody know? 350 million? Is that pretty close? All right. You guys just throwing a number out there or what? That's probably pretty close. But of that 29%, they say a lot of it has to deal with anxiety, depression, and those things. All right? And it's very common for people at some point in their life to probably deal with one of those things in their own life. So, but God loves us. The antidote for worry and anxiety, I believe, is faith and trust in our God. At times we need, the things happen in our life and we have to take other measures. But I believe that God is concerned about our body, our soul, and our mind. But we want to divide everything up. Here's my spiritual side, but it doesn't involve with my other life, okay, or my emotional life, what I do outside of church. We want to divide it all up. But we can't. It's all connected. How we think, how we feel, how we relate to God, it's all connected. It should be, okay? And I believe it is. So I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to look at honoring God with our bod, or if you want to say body, if that makes you feel better, we can do that. And I want us to, the passage in Romans, we kind of referred to, talks about that as well, but I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. And Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" In other words, God doesn't dwell in this place, this church. He does, but it's because He is dwelling within us. Our body is the temple of His Holy Spirit. Okay? How many have heard somebody say, "You know what? Don't run in church," right? This is church. Don't run in church. Don't yell. Why? Because it's kind of a reverence for that place, right? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and yet many times we don't think about how we live our lives and how it impacts God's presence within our own lives. You have the God of the universe dwelling within you. Isn't that incredible? And what are you exposing God to when you go into that place or you do that thing? Let's talk about that. Father, I ask a blessing over your word this morning. I pray that you would lead and direct and just anoint your word. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Honor God with your body. I want us to look at a couple different ways that we can do that. All right? Some of these you may think they are not spiritual at all, but I believe they are connected. The first one I want us to look at is bringing health to our physical body and to honor God is to how we eat. Did you know that I can honor God or dishonor God? And so the first point there is to eat to energize, not satisfy. Now, I just took all the fun out of eating, didn't I? Eat to energize, not to satisfy. Now, you know, I love a good steak. My favorite steak is a ribeye, okay? All right, medium ribeye. And I'm happy, okay? It tastes good. I enjoy it. And it's probably good for me every once in a while. Okay, we need that red meat. We need that protein. But I read an article and just said, you know what? Many times we eat to satisfy instead of eat to energize. God has given us a variety of food, grains and meats and vegetables, fruits, you know, a variety of colors, textures, flavors, nutrition. Wow, he's just given us so much. But many times we eat to satisfy, and we don't think how it's going to energize our body. And what is the purpose of food in the first place? You think it was meant to just make us feel good? To fill this space down here? What is it for? It's to provide nourishment for our body, isn't it? Is it not? And when I read that article, it was kind of like, wow, it just changed my attitude towards food. That many times we, you know, man, we get the munchies, we want something, we go into a place and we see the pastries that are there and the food, the pop, right? And yes, look at all that good stuff there. And you know, in moderation, you know, none of that is probably horrible for you. It's just that eat to energize instead of satisfy. And, you know, he kind of even gets into sometimes we eat out of emotional eating. You ever heard of that term where we eat to kind of sometimes feel good, you know? And we get up in the morning, it's a rainy day, we just feel, you know, and just, and, you know, sometimes just something good, you know, hot bread or a cinnamon roll. Doesn't it just make you feel better? Doesn't it? You know, it's not good for this body at the time. But at the moment, it makes you feel better, okay? So how can we eat to energize? Well, first of all, we need to focus on eating the right foods, foods that are rich in the nutrients that promote our health. I'm going to let you do the research on that. But I believe that we can really eat, and I'm getting to a point here, is that if we can eat to energize and it impacts our life, it's going to affect how we feel, the energy that we have. You know what? And if I feel good, okay, it's going to impact how I am spiritually and how I perform in my day-to-day activities. And that, in fact, impacts my emotions. It affects my spiritual life. It affects everything. And so there is a spiritual side to this, folks, that when I feel better, when I have energy, and I'm not coming off of a sugar high, okay, I feel better, and it's going to impact all areas of my life. So focus on eating the right foods. Now, Daniel, there is some scriptural precedence for this. Daniel, when he gets to Babylon, he's taken there as a captive. And we don't know necessarily all the things that were involved, but he gets there and they're being indoctrinated, for a lack of a better term, into the customs and the traditions of the Babylonian culture. Okay? And then they would incorporate him into society. They'd learn the language, they'd learn the customs, and then they'd be released. And Daniel and his friends were some of the elite. They were sharp young men, and that's why they took them from Israel and brought them to Babylon. And there they would train them. Okay? But the food that was being offered to them was probably had been offered to idols, possibly. And so maybe Daniel had an issue with that. But even just by his selection of stuff, he doesn't say, no, like, give me some beef that hasn't been offered to idols or anything like that. What he does request is give us fruits and vegetables. And the guy that's in charge says, I can't do that. When the king finds out that I haven't been feeding you guys right, he's going to have my head. Okay? Daniel says, well, let's just give it a week or two, okay? Test us, and if we're better, then we stay on the diet. If we're not better than everybody else, you know, smarter, look better, then you can take away our diet. So they put him on the test, and what they found out is that Daniel and his friends were not just
at the same level. They were 10 times smarter and in better health than the rest of the people. And so they took away all the meat and all the good stuff of all the people, which probably didn't do them any, you know, Daniel and his friends probably got in trouble for that. And they gave them all fruits and vegetables. So there was something involved in that that Daniel understood just about of a healthy diet and what was best for them. And it's very possible that the Babylonians, the meat was probably just really fatty and it was just very rich with all the things that were involved in that diet. And it just wasn't, Daniel probably ate it and he says, man, I just feel sluggish. I don't feel good. And he must came from a home and a family that had some very good eating habits. So this body is the only one you get, folks. Okay, what we put into it is what we can expect to get out of it. Okay, how we're going to feel, how we're going to energize it, and how we eat is part of that. Second one is practice self-control. Okay, and I just stepped on my foot there really hard. Okay, but that self-control is hard. I think there again, there's a variety of foods. Pop. I just don't have very much pop. I'll have a glass of pop every once in a while, but I just don't want those sugars. I just don't like how it affects my body, for one thing. But, you know, what happened a few years ago is that we went from, a 12-ounce can to 18-ounce to 20-ounce. And I don't know what they offer. Dale, what do you offer at Burger King? What's the biggest you can get? 40? All right. You know what? Pop is a great thing, probably. But when you go from having just a 6-ounce cup of it to now you're having 40 ounces, it'll affect you. It'll affect you. Am I stepping on anybody's toes yet? All right. Let's move on. All right. I believe the whole of Scripture teaches us that we can have a variety of foods, but we need to do that in moderation, and we need to eat to energize. Now, Proverbs 23, 1 through 3, I don't know if you've read through Proverbs and you read this, but Chris, bring that verse up. He says, if you are at a king's table and you sit down with a ruler, know what is before you. Okay? Verse 2. And put a knife to your throat if you're given to gluttony. All right? And do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. Now, I don't think he's meaning this in a literal sense, but what he is saying is if you can't say no, if you don't have some self-control, don't even put yourself in that place. Don't put yourself in that place. And gluttony, I did a little study on that. It just means probably that food controls you instead of you controlling food. And I believe that God has called us to self-control, whether it is in our thoughts, in our behaviors, in all that we do. God is to give us self-control. Now, and I believe the bottom line is that we eat to energize so that we feel better physically, we have more energy, we're sharper mentally, we feel better emotionally, and I believe it impacts how we feel spiritually. Okay? Honor God by what you eat, by what you put into your body. You only get one, so take care of it. Amen? Secondly, stay active. Stay active. You know, in biblical times, they didn't have a car to go zipping around everywhere, did they? What'd they do? They walked. Now, you know, people had donkeys, and they probably had donkeys with carts behind them. Or I don't think they called them carriages back then. And so they probably utilized them from time to time, but they did a lot of walking, just staying active. Now, today, even in America, we've gone to a lot of blue-collar, hands-on jobs to where we sit a lot behind a desk, and we don't do a lot of activity. It's impacted how we live, and it affects our health, all right? And we have TV nowadays. They didn't have that back then. I don't know what they did for entertainment. But they didn't have a TV to sit down and watch, okay? They didn't have a PS3 to play. You know, the schools have taken PE class a lot more seriously, haven't they, nowadays? Because kids that are being active now are having issues with weight, and they're having to deal with that. I think that there, again, it goes back to that first point. But there's huge benefits from staying active, okay? Whether it's going to the gym, taking a walk, finding ways that we can get up and get moving. Because when you start doing stuff, it gives you more energy. There, again, it gives you more energy, and it keeps you in shape, allows you to look better. Now, you know what? I don't think God really cares about what you look like if you have a good physique, okay? I don't think that really matters to God. It may matter to your spouse or other people, but I don't think it matters to God, okay? But here's some benefits. It gives you more energy. It keeps you in better physical health, so your heart is in better shape, your back's in better shape, your knees are probably in better shape because you're keeping things moving. It improves your emotional health. There's a direct impact of how you feel physically. It impacts your emotions. Direct impact. And it'll probably help you look better. Okay, so there again, you feel better about yourself, which helps with confidence. All right. What I found out in my first pastorate, got out of Bible college, went into our first pastorate. We probably had one or two kids, and probably upper 20s by that point, probably 28. And my wife is a good cook, and I started putting on a few pounds. But when I got into the winter months, I was really, really struggling, probably some borderline depression and just kind of blahness. And I just knew something. I had to do something different. And so we didn't have a health facility like the Haddock Center that we have in Doan. I mean, if you live in Crete, that's just a wonderful facility. And the bargain that is there, folks, it's a huge, huge bargain to take advantage of that facility. We didn't have one of those. But what we did have is there was a racquetball club that was bought by a seed company. And so they had their offices there, the seed company did. And then they had this little area where you could lift weights, and then they had the racquetball courts. And so I'd go there, and immediately I began to notice a difference, not only in how I felt, but it picked up my spirits. I started feeling better about life, and I had more energy, and it affected my spiritual life as well. Because those all things are all connected. And so staying active and work, do what works for you. I don't care if it's working in the garden. I don't care if it's taking a walk, chasing your husband around the house. I don't care. Chasing your kids around the house. 1 Timothy 4:8. Paul says physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding the promise for life, this present life and the life to come. And there's a third thing that I want us to look at is that make wise moral decisions. How can we honor God with our body? We can honor Him by our eating choices, eating to energize, not satisfy. We do it by staying active. Okay? And there again, I don't think some people go to the gym and they do all that just so that they can look good. Okay? That's fine. Okay? And some people go way overboard with that. I think the key I want to press there is that we will feel better emotionally and spiritually when we stay active. Okay? The third one is make wise moral decisions. In the text that we began with, Paul's major thought was to honor God with how we live our life, especially in the area of morality. Okay? And especially in the area of sexual morality. And it's a family service, so I'm not going to go too deep into this. But what he does say in verses 18 through 20 is to flee from sexual immorality. You know, sexual immorality would be any form of sex that takes place outside the marriage relationship. Okay? So if you're adults, you know what that is, or teenagers. All right? All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but one who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. How we live morally impacts and affects our spiritual relationship with God. But it also affects your physical health as well, does it not? It does. In dealing with our text, just sexual immorality can lead to a lot of different things. It can lead to unwanted diseases, infertility, unwanted pregnancies. Because of the moral choices outside of sexuality, it can lead to addictions in our life that we can't break. It can deal with health consequences. Many of them are lasting. Some of them our body can recover from. And the list goes on. You know, and many times we look at God and we say, you know what? In God's Word, He has this list of things that I cannot do. He's taken the fun all out of it. Right?
God doesn't want me to have any fun.
He hasn't been to our church.
But we can sometimes think that God doesn't want us to have any fun. But what? Think of the parent, okay? Mom and dad, got a lot of you here today. You have rules and guidelines at your house, right? Now, is that so your child doesn't have fun? Yes.
Yeah, it is in our house.
No. It's to protect your child, to provide some guidelines so they're protected and so that they can have fun without being hurt. There's boundaries. Any game you play, there's boundaries that you have to play within. It's to give structure to the game, to keep people safe, to keep the game fair. Okay? But parents don't make rules and guidelines to take away fun. They do it to protect, because they want the well-being of their child in mind, right? Yeah. God does the same thing. He's saying, you know what? I don't put those things in place so you just can't have fun. It's just so that God has our best interests at heart. But many times we come at it from the wrong angle and say, God, he doesn't want me to have fun. No, he does want you to enjoy life. In fact, Scripture says that he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And God has given us a lot of freedom. But with that freedom, we can either honor him or we can harm ourselves. See, you go up a little bit further in our text. Paul is using an argument from the Corinthians. They were kind of philosophical, and they say, everything is permissible for me, okay? Because of God's grace, I can do anything. But Paul says, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is beneficial. Yeah, there's freedom in Christ. Go ahead and eat whatever you want to, okay? There's a lot of freedom there, but it comes back with our choices. Go ahead and live and do whatever you want to. But there's always a price to pay, whether good or bad, for our actions, our decisions, our thoughts. Honor God with your body. See, we come down to a little more serious note. It involves what we eat, how we stay active. But Paul really brings it home with the decisions that we make and how we live our lives. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is within us. And at times we walk into places that we have no place in being there, and we're taking God right in there with us. We would never think of maybe bringing it to church, those magazines or what we've just seen on the internet. We'd never think about bringing it here. But we expose ourselves to it at home or at work. When we go to the friend's house and some of the stuff that takes place there, we never think of bringing God there or bringing that here, but we've taken him there because God is within us. You following me? In our day and age, physical training with athletes, I talked to football players yesterday morning before their game. I think it was okay, but it must not have been good enough. But they did their best. But I've seen these guys. I get up to Doe and I see how hard they work. I see how my son, how seriously they work to have that edge. They eat right. They try to exercise. They train. They abstain from things so that they have an edge over their opponent. Okay? They do this to win a crown, a game of victory that lasts for a moment. It's here and it's gone. Right? And Paul refers to this in Corinthians chapter 9, just a little bit further, verses 24 through 27. He says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it for a crown that will last forever. Therefore, do not run like a man running aimlessly. And do not fight like a man beating the air, no target, no aim in mind. Paul says, no, I beat my body. In other words, I keep it in control. I dictate what's going to happen. I keep it subject to me. I make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. See, folks, well, we sometimes enter into the Christian life and we say the prayer and we say, God, I want you to come in my life. And I think, man, I got salvation. Christ has come in and it feels pretty good. I feel forgiveness of sins. But folks, we're in a race and there's somebody that doesn't want you to finish that race. He doesn't want you to finish the race. In fact, he's going to do everything he can so you don't finish the race. He's going to put temptation in your path. He's going to put hardships and trials in your path. Can't pay the bills or you got family situations. He's going to do anything that he can do to cause you to drop out, to not finish, to be distracted. And many times as a Christian, we're walking around and we're not training, we're not taking this thing seriously. And all of a sudden, man, we get blindsided. Okay? You ever gotten caught by a crackback sweep? It only happened once. Okay? It's a football term. I was on the wrong side of it one day. Never was again. Okay? But we're blindsided. We're blindsided because we're not prepared. Satan does not want us to finish. But Scripture says that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. You know what? He doesn't just care about destroying your body. If he can destroy your body through drugs and alcohol, through sexual transmitted diseases, the list goes on. If he can destroy your body through that, great. He'll do whatever he can do. But what he really wants is your soul. And folks, I wish I could say that the Christian race is easy. You pray the prayer and you got your name in heaven, and that's all there is. But it's a race. It begins when we make that prayer, when we ask Christ into our life. But we don't enter into his presence until we cross that other side, or till God calls us home. And in that process, God has called us to grow, to mature like an athlete. He calls us to keep improving, and to see growth in our lives, to take this thing seriously. To be the top of our game. We do that by reading God's Word and praying, but it also means doing some of the things we've talked about today. Getting into His Word and honoring Him with our thoughts, our mind, all that we do. And taking our life to the next level in Him. I'm going to have the musicians come. We honor God with our body. In the process, I believe we enjoy many health benefits. We're stronger emotionally. We're better spiritually in the Christian way, race. But it's not only just to finish, but to finish well and to win the prize. Amen? Would you stand this morning? Lord, this morning, we've had some fun. And Lord, I'm glad that we can laugh and laugh together. Lord, but you've called us to live our lives in such a way that bring you worship and that honors you. The things you've put in place in your word aren't there just to say we can't have fun, but that this, we might have life and have it more abundantly. That we can have solid families and healthy children. We can enjoy health in our body, health in our mind, and health in our spirit. And God, so that we not only run the race, but we can finish the race and we can win the prize which you've called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, it all begins on the inside and it works its way out and touches every part of our life. So Lord, this morning there's some, probably all of us, need to confess some things in our own lives that haven't been right. Because just probably even this week, this past day or two, maybe even this morning, we've dishonored you in what we've done in this body, in this temple of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that as we confess our sin to you, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, you say, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Above all, Lord, our prayer is that you may be honored as we live this life. As we live this life for you, dear God, may you be honored in all that we do. We give you the thanks and the praise. All right, before we go, I want everyone to take their two hands, to extend them out, kind of as you're offering something to God, okay? And Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercies, to offer your lives, your bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know and be able to test and approve what God's perfect, pleasing, and perfect will is. Father, receive our prayer, our offering this morning. Lord, I have no doubt that some of us are going to stumble and fall. But Lord, give us the grace that we need. Live a life that glorifies you. Give us the strength and the power of your Spirit. Lord, hear the cries of our hearts when we've done all that we can do, Father. Hear our cries to come back to you. Forgive us of our sin. Cast it as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, here this morning we offer you our lives, our bodies, as an offering to you, as an act of worship. We give you the thanks, we give you the praise. In the name of Jesus we ask. Everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning.